The Gospel reading for the third Sunday of Easter is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Christ our wisdom. Amen. We were hoping. There is a lot of feeling packed into those three little words. Hoping, that powerful state that lives in the hearts of those who long for something better. We can be fueled for a long time on hope. Hope is what makes life worth living. But the disciples on the road to Emmaus had said, "We were hoping." For them, that longing is in the past. Their hope is now gone. Now, how many times have we been there? In that emotional void that comes after feeling so optimistic about the future, but now facing the disappointment of unfulfilled dreams. After being certain that things will work out for the best, but now trying to adjust to the realization that they won't. It's an unpleasant place to be, as Cleopas and his companion discovered on the road to Emmaus. We were hoping that Jesus was the one who would set us free. Maybe they'd been on the road into Jerusalem when Jesus had ridden in on that donkey. Maybe they had even waved palm branches in wild enthusiasm and unbridled hope. And now here they were, trudging out of Jerusalem, away from hope, and into what? What can fill the void that's expressed in "we were hoping"? Well, the simplistic answer is Easter. In these weeks of the Easter season, we have these wonderful stories of the resurrected living Jesus appearing to devastated disciples and transforming their despair into renewed hope in possibilities not even previously imagined. In Bible time, that void doesn't last very long. Jesus dies, but 3 days later he lives. The disciples grieve behind locked doors after the crucifixion, but Jesus appears to them that the very night on that first Easter, although Thomas did have to wait a whole week longer. But the joy of the travelers on the road to Emmaus came on the very same night of that first Easter day. Now, these are wonderful stories, but we know that our time in the void in between disappointment and renewed hope is hardly ever that short. We have to sit with the pain and discomfort of "we were hoping" for as long as it takes to reach the other side. And there's no formula or prescribed time frame for the process. Or we could say that the walk on the road to Emmaus takes as long as it takes to get to where our eyes are opened and our hearts are warmed. Now, I've been to Emmaus. I once actually lived just down the road from the town in Pennsylvania that was named after the one near Jerusalem, wherever that one really is. Unlike Emmaus, Pennsylvania, no one is quite sure. There are at least four towns in Israel that claim to be the site of the Easter night story, but none of them can make a definitive and unchallenged claim, which once led the late biblical scholar Marcus Borg to conclude that Emmaus is both nowhere and everywhere. Emmaus is nowhere precisely because Emmaus is everywhere. So, surprise, it's a metaphor. The road to Emmaus is the one on which we all walk in the space in between. The actual road may or may not have been 7 miles, but, you know, seven is one of those biblical numbers that tell us that there's more going on here than factual history. In reality, the road might feel more like 70 miles or even 700 miles. I heard something similar to this at the Sufi retreat that I was at in January. The retreat was called 40 Days, The Alchemy of Tranquility. And again, 40 is one of those biblical numbers. Like 7, it implies sacredness, a perfect timing. But as the retreat leader then explained, the length of our 40 days of transformation into tranquility might actually be 4 minutes or 40 years. It's the process that's important, as well as our openness to what will happen within us on the journey. As you know, I was back at Gettysburg Seminary last week for my 30th reunion. Maybe that's why one of my fellow classmates came to mind. In the spring of my senior year, my neighbor down the hall from me in student housing expressed her anger about the upcoming Easter holiday. Her mother had died just a month earlier, and she was still grieving. She didn't want to jump into the celebration of resurrection. She was still on the road to Emmaus. She might have said, "I had hoped to have my mother around for many more years." Acknowledging in this way her experience of the space in between didn't take away her belief in resurrection. It simply named her experience. And I'm thinking today about the people who have gathered today for Jane Bolander's memorial service. Even if you have never met Jari or Jane, you can imagine the heartbreak of her illness and death at such a young age. Jari might have said today, "We had hoped for a long and happy life together." His road to Emmaus will be a long and difficult one. And it's not just about death either. These two stories are not meant to take anything away from your stories, my stories, our stories of the roads to Emmaus on which we've all walked. We had hoped. You can fill in the blank with the hopes concerning your life, your family, hopes for this church, for our country. We had hoped that by now racism would no longer be an issue in our society. We had hoped that humanity would have finally come together in resolve to heal our planet. We had hoped that misogyny would not be tolerated in the halls of power. We had hoped for so much. But then our hopes were crushed. And here we are, as Willie Nelson sang, on the road again. So now what? There doesn't seem to be much in the way of good news here other than this is just a fact of life. Except there is more to the story. It ends in Emmaus, but something happens along the way. The risen Christ shows up, not in a big show of power and glory, but in companionship on the journey, in listening to the travelers speak of their shattered hope, in allowing them to name their loss. This is what we can do as we accompany others on their Emmaus road. Accompany and listen. And we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable in naming our own losses and allowing others to accompany and listen to us. No matter where we are in processing disappointment and loss, we're all on the road together. Which brings me to the heart of the matter. We are all on the road together, but there's more than even our collective presence. We are also together as the presence of Christ in and to one another. This presence is finally manifested to Cleopas and company in the breaking of bread. And readers of Luke's gospel have seen from the beginning the allusion to the communion meal. Glimpses of new hope, tiny sparks of life in broken hearts, the shimmering of promises of an open future are somehow made known in this ritual of eating bread and drinking wine, refreshment and strength for the ongoing journey. At a recent event hosted by the Jesus Seminar, one of the speakers had a different viewpoint. He wondered whether it was time for the Christian church to give up on communion. My friend sitting next to me said she heard me gasp, although I definitely got where he was coming from. He had 2 points. First was the theology of participating in a blood sacrifice is untenable to progressive Christians, which is true, but that is not the only theological understanding that's out there. But we do have to do a better job of letting people know that this is a meal of love, not a reenactment of a ritual killing. His second point was that the communion table has been a barrier for some people to be fully included in the life of the church, that we've put up rules and roadblocks to determine who can and cannot partake. And again, that's true. But again, I had to respectfully disagree that this is the way that it has to be. No matter how you believe Christ is present. In Holy Communion, we enter into a mystery. This mystery is a space in which the limits of the road fall away, and for just a moment, we might experience just a glimpse of new hope, just a tiny spark of life, just the shimmer of a promise. Each Sunday when we say we are the body of Christ and the Spirit of Christ is in us, we are acknowledging this wonder. It's the time of our greatest solidarity as a communion, as a community and as a communion, as we come together both to confess our losses and broken dreams and to receive nourishment to go out and make a better world. That's Easter. It's not usually a quick and easy resolution. It's rather a slow and steady walk on the road to Emmaus, on which we will find that the Spirit of Christ is indeed with us, even when we're not feeling it or recognizing it. The journey from we were hoping to Christ is risen might be 7 miles or 70, but it doesn't matter. The process of resurrection is always happening. The road to transformation is always ongoing. We may not know where that original Emmaus was, but that doesn't matter either. Emmaus is nowhere, and that means that Emmaus is everywhere, in your heart and in mine, and we are going there together. Amen.